relationship with God. And if we're going to fulfill our purpose, it's to find relationship and purpose with God. And last week we talked a little bit about some of the things that weaken our passion for Christ and for the Lord. And this week we're going to spend some time talking about what we can actually do to seek to re-engage the Lord and to, by His Holy Spirit, be drawn into a more vibrant and passionate relationship with Him. The gospel lesson today is one of my absolute favorites, because I think it's possible for just about any of us to identify with it in some way or another. Has anybody ever tried walking on water? I tried it at a Christian camp once. You know, they had this little thing where, okay, this summer we're all going to try walking on water. Nobody ever does, but, you know, all the kids line up in the swimming area and trying to walk out onto the water, you know, and everybody, it doesn't work. But but what's interesting about this is that whether or not you're trying to walk on actual water, because Jesus calls you to step out of the boat, or God is calling you into something that is different, that requires faith and trust in Him, that is perhaps something that is way outside what you're comfortable with, or not in your wheelhouse, or not something you're experienced with, you can learn so much from this gospel account about how the Lord leads us and will not let us sink if we will step out in faith and trust Him. I know it's really hard, but God will never fail you if you will step out in faith and trust Him. If you look at the accounts of Jesus with people in Holy Scripture, there's a theme that you can see with almost all of His interactions with people. There is always an invitation. Jesus is always inviting us to Himself. He's always inviting us into relationship. He's always saying, come, come be with me. Come live with me. Come be in relationship with me. Learn from me. Walk like me. Be like me. And then after the invitation is the challenge. There's invitation, and then there's challenge. Right? So, Peter says to Jesus, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water. He says, come. So, Jesus gives Peter the invitation. Come. What a nice invitation. The wind's blowing, the waves are high, the boat has been driven far from shore. Jesus shows up, looks like a ghost, scares everything out of the disciples, tries to reassure them, gives Peter an invitation, come. And then the challenge is that Peter had to decide what he was going to do with that invitation. He had to decide in that moment, do I trust Jesus is who He says He is, and that if I step out on the water, whether I walk on it or whether I sink is in His hands, and I trust His goodness in it. It's not just the trust that Jesus wouldn't let him sink. It's the trust that if he sank, would Jesus still have him? So Peter gets out of the boat, and he starts walking on the water. And he's coming towards Jesus, and then he sees all the circumstances, right? There's the strong wind. He becomes frightened. He freaks out. He starts to sink. It was probably not a nice scene. He's sputtering. He's splashing. He's starting to go down. And he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and catches him. Have you ever seen the painting that's kind of gone around on social media of Peter underneath the water, looking up through the refraction of the water to see Jesus reaching his hand down like that? I don't know if you ever feel that way in life. If it ever feels like Jesus called you out and invited you, and you took the challenge, you accepted that invitation and that challenge, and then you started to sink. Every single time Jesus makes a promise, He keeps it. He never breaks it. He is God. He is a man of His word, and He will never break His promise. just like in the epistle lesson today, we read, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not if you do enough good things in life, if you let people go before you first, if you try to get enough weight unbalanced on the scale on the good side to outweigh all the bad stuff that you think, do, and say, you'll be okay. Probably when you get to heaven or when you stand before God, you might get the green light to make it in. We can know that we're saved. We don't have to wonder until we die. We know that God is good. He's laid out the plan of salvation. It's right there in Scripture. We can trust him. He is never going to leave us or forsake us, and he will never, ever let us down. He is that passionate about you. He is that passionate about us. You know, there are a few things that we have to look at when we address the idea of passion and reigniting that passion for God in our lives. If God is that passionate about you, don't you want to be in that kind of a passionate relationship with him and not settle for less? And not settle for the dregs and press in, go further in and higher up with what God has for you and is calling you into? I tried really hard to not make a sermon with like three of something, but I came up with three P's, so I'm really sorry. So, purpose is the first one, right? You were created for a purpose. You know, you're not just space dust that started to breathe. There are purposes that are identifiable in Holy Scripture for our existence. The primary one is to love God and enjoy him forever. We're supposed to be in relationship with him. And if we are going to be healthy and balanced as a follower of Jesus Christ and living a passionate life with him, we have got to be functioning in these purposes. There's at least five of them that we can identify. The first one is that we need times of worship with God. We were created to worship. We were created to worship him. That's where we get to know him. In private worship, in corporate worship here on Sunday, we need to have fellowship with other believers. If I sound like I said this last week, it's because I did, and it's worth saying twice because I'm hoping that we'll get it. We need to have fellowship with others. We can't live the Christian faith in a vacuum or on an island. We need to read God's word and disciple one another. We need to be discipled by the Holy Spirit, who will reveal all truth to us. If there's something in Scripture we don't understand, we need to ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We need to know his word to be able to grow, to be more like him, to accept Christ's invitation to be in relationship with him. We need to have a ministry where we're using our gifts and our talents, whatever they may be, you know? I remember talking to somebody who's a clergy person down on the North Shore of Boston, and they had a communion service one night. And, you know, they believe that the real presence of Jesus Christ rests with the elements. They don't believe that the bread becomes flesh and the wine becomes blood, but they believe that it's not just a bare memorial. And the custodian, who was cleaning up after the communion service, put a fresh bag in the vacuum cleaner when he vacuumed up all the crumbs left over from communion, because that was his gift. That was how he was serving the Lord, and he was showing honor and respect for the Holy Supper. You know? We need to be able to have a mission in the world where we're going to share our faith. You know, whether it's through word or through deed, you know, you can love somebody and share your faith that way. If God calls you to stand on a corner with a sandwich board and say, repent, the end is near, do it. He wants you to do that. But if God wants you to love your neighbor and do some acts of service and he knows you're a believer, it might plant a seed that points towards the Lord too, you know? If we just function in one of these areas or one of these purposes, we're going to be imbalanced, kind of like one of those trees that doesn't grow completely, you know? We're going to lose our passion. We need them all. Another P is people. So we've got purpose and people, okay? If we want to reignite our passion for Christ, it's very hard to do it alone. Human beings were made for relationship with one another. Relationship with God, also relationship with people. And relationship with people is for the challenging times as well as the really good times. We were made for relationships. You know, if we really want to punish someone, and it's not capital punishment, what do we do? solitary confinement. No daylight. 1 day out of the cell, or 1 hour out of the cell per day, maybe. Solitary is a really harsh punishment. No contact. Alone without any interaction. No encouragement. No companionship. It works really well because it goes away, goes against the way we were actually created to be. So whether you're married or whether you're single, you need relationships with other people. The third P that we'll look at today is prayer. And this is really probably the most critical one. Without prayer, there's no relationship. Really hard. You know, we don't ever chat. Sorry to drag you into my sermon. But prayer can be difficult, can't it? I mean, when I say the word prayer, what pops into your mind? Here we go. He's going to talk about that again. You know, I don't know. A mindless one-way conversation. Not sure what to pray. Think we have to use special words to pray, and then you don't know them. Not sure if you're just talking to the air, throwing a whole cavada. Hard to stay focused and engaged, maybe. Maybe your mind wanders. Or is prayer for you a vital, life-giving, and essential key to a vibrant, compassionate relationship with God? If you are in that place, please reach out and encourage somebody else. Say, you can do this. Prayer is awesome. Here's what my prayer life is like. Let me encourage you. How are you struggling? Again, back to relationships with people. Scripture says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. We draw near to God by bringing our hearts to Him in prayer and in worship. Prayer is key to a relationship. How can we be passionate about something or someone that we never talk to or with or about? What are you passionate about? You talk about it, probably, right? Who are you passionate about? You talk to them. I'm going to drag you into my sermon one more time. I'm sorry, but when we were dating, I never wanted to hang up the phone and say goodbye. I would find the dumbest excuse to keep her on the phone. You know? Prayer should be at least like that. It should be, we never want to stop communicating with God because you never have to hang up the phone on God. He is always there with you. Prayer can be formal. Prayer can be like the liturgy that we pray through a compline on Wednesday night, praying like the church has prayed for 2,000 years. There's beauty and depth and power in praying with the church triumphant as well as the church militant, the church that has gone before us and the church that is still living. There's also beauty and passion in prayer and saying, good grief, Lord, I can't believe that just happened. Please help me. That's prayer too. Prayer is daily, moment by moment, daily grace, breathing in, breathing out His presence and knowing He is there and knowing that you can come to Him in whatever condition you are in, whether or not you're wearing your Sunday best or just had a negative thought about somebody, you can still have that relationship with God. If you want to hear the voice of God, if you want to know what your purpose in life is, if you want to walk closely with your Creator, then we've got to learn to pray, to communicate back and forth with Him. David Platt wrote a book called Radical, and he says in there that worship is the fuel of praying in the world, and worship is the goal of praying in this world. We pray night and day, week after week, for all kinds of people throughout the world to come to a saving knowledge of God, including ourselves, and we look forward to the day when all kinds of people will indeed know Him and worship Him, and it's through prayer that that happens. So finding your passion through purpose, through people, through relationships with others, through prayer. Soon, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be learning a little bit more about trying to gather together intentionally in small groups as our whole church family. I believe that it's the next step for us to be able to grow together as a family in Christ, to be able to encourage each other, deepen our faith, disciple one another, to engage in godly fellowship, be encouraged by the other Christians around us. And going back to the gospel, that might be something that's akin to being called out onto the water by Jesus for you. It might feel weird. It might feel comfortable. Faith might feel like a really private thing that you don't want to share with somebody else, or Maybe you're worried about COVID and don't want to interact with somebody else. You can sit 6 feet apart around a campfire outside and wear 3 masks if you want to, and still encourage one another in your faith. And so, as with Jesus, with an invitation and a challenge, I want to invite you to prayerfully consider where your passion is at with the Lord. Prayerfully consider what He is calling you to deepen your faith, to go further in and higher up with Him. And the challenge is, will you hear the call from the Lord? Will you step out of the boat? Will you engage the opportunity and not let it pass by to deepen your faith, to grow in your purpose in Christ, and to walk with Him in a more vibrant and holy and passionate way? In the name of Christ. Amen. How can we pray for this?